My name is Erica Talia McCarthy, and I use gratitude as a cornerstone for attracting everything I want in my life. I am here to show you how to reduce stress, create great habits, and develop a winning mindset that will allow you to create the life of your dreams by planting gratitude seeds and watching your gratitude garden grow. Come on my journey with me as I share what has worked and what has not worked in my life. Let's manifest, change our mindsets, and make this world a better place together. Welcome to the Gratitude First Garden. I am so happy you are here.
Hey God, it's me. Oh God, I really need some help and guidance here. I mean, I have no idea what I'm doing wrong, God, or why I'm just not as good as everyone else who is trying to grow a similar business to mine. It's like all of these other business owners have all of these strengths, and I look at what I bring to the table and I just look at them all as weaknesses. I don't feel like I have the amount of training that they have. I don't feel like I have the amount of creativity. I don't feel like I have the amount of stamina. And it just really, really frustrates me, God, because it's like, I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm the one that is trying to make it up the hill, but just doesn't have what it takes to get there. I'm seeing all of these other business owners succeed and post all of their amazing achievements online. And it's like, I never have anything to post because I always feel like I'm behind. God, can you please help me and give me some guidance here? Thank you so much. Amen.
Erica, you must have tunnel vision.
Just take a moment to close our eyes and take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. And let us just show a bit of gratitude today. What are you grateful for? Who are you grateful for? Maybe you got to celebrate something, or someone who is close to you is celebrating a birth of a child, a birthday, an anniversary, a new job, the start of a thriving business, a new relationship, a marriage. Let's take a moment to think about all of the things that we can celebrate. We can celebrate great health. We can celebrate laughter. We can celebrate the fact that we have a roof over our heads and food in our bellies. We can celebrate the fact that we get to lay our heads on a pillow tonight and have a really good, sound sleep. We can celebrate the fact that we have our our senses, our sense of sight and our of hearing and of taste and of touch and of all of the senses that we have. There's so many things that we can celebrate. So let's just take a moment to show some gratitude and say thank you for as many things as possible right now that we can celebrate. Let us do that now. Very good, my gratitude first gardeners. Let us take a deep breath in and a deep breath out and open our eyes, and we'll start the show after this short break. Having an amazing day, an amazing week, an amazing month. How are you doing, my loves? I hope you are doing so well. Guys, OMG. So I basically had to record this today. So you see that we're sort of off of our schedule. So I wanted to make sure you guys had an episode this week. I usually record on the weekends, but I am taking my son to Disney World for his birthday. Yay! So my amazing, beautiful, smart, oh my goodness, you guys, like, I'm just in awe at how intelligent my son is. And I know me saying that, it just sounds like the mom that's bragging, right? And it's okay. I'm going to brag on my son just a little bit. But guys, he's so smart. Like, this kid can hear a song one time and play it back on the piano. Like, my gosh. And my mom, I went over to my mom's house today and we were just talking about like how he's adding and subtracting at like 4, right? Like, and it's not like the 1 + 1, like he's adding and subtracting like pretty big numbers at like 4. So, oh my gosh, I am just so incredibly in awe of my son. And I can't wait to see like what he becomes, like as he grows up, who he becomes. Me and my mom were talking about some of the jobs. He loves math. He loves music. So I'm just, you know, I'm doing everything in my power to make sure that he continues to gravitate towards the things that he loves. Like, I don't want to be that mom that's kind of steering him in the in a certain direction. Like, I want to continue to observe him and say, okay, he absolutely loves music. My son has loved music since he was born, and he's always gravitated towards like the piano. So I'm like, okay, it makes sense for me to get him piano lessons. So now he's taking piano lessons. And then he's, you know, this fascination with numbers. Like, he's just been gravitating towards math lately. And so I've been trying to do everything that I can to, you know, give him as many like math problems as I can. We have like these math blocks that we play with. So I'm just doing everything that I can to get him in front of as many types of math activities as possible, because I want to just really, you know, have him continue to grow his natural gifts, right? I think sometimes as parents, we can easily, like, you know, influence our kids so much to the point where they're not even doing what they're naturally good at anymore, right? So if you're like, no, you're supposed to, you know, go to school to be this and this and that, but your child, you know, was born an artist and your child loves to paint, right? You know, I know that parents, as parents, we do the best that we possibly can, but I also believe that our kids have natural gifts, right? And so I promise myself that I'm going to do as much as I can not to be that mom that's like, oh, you know, you should be a kid model and my son doesn't like being in front of the camera, right? He loves being behind the camera. And yeah, sometimes he takes pictures, like he likes to take pictures, or he'll say, mommy, take a picture of me. But lately I've been noticing that he likes to take pictures of me. Like, he likes to take pictures of me or outside, like nature. So now I'm seeing that he really likes to be behind the camera, right? So I don't want to be that mom that's like, oh, let me put you in kid modeling and you don't, you know, he doesn't even like to be in front of the camera. So I, you know, love to observe him and see what his natural gifts and talents are, and then just like immerse him in that so that he can continue to grow and develop those skills as he gets older, right? So piano is his thing, math is his thing. Lately, photography, and more so like being the photographer as opposed to being in front of the camera. So I'm just, you know, I'm just in awe of the little different phases that my son goes through. And I'm just so blessed. Oh my gosh, you guys, it's just such a blessing to be a parent, to be a mom. I love being a mom because I get to just nurture him and like love up on him and be just, you know, he's my baby. So I love being a mom as well. And it's hard as heck, you guys. Like, don't get me wrong. These 5 years have not been a cakewalk by any means. And if you are a parent or a soon to be parent out there, you know, kudos to you. My hat's off to you. Salute to you, because I know how difficult it is. Don't get me wrong. My son makes me want to like scream in a pillow sometimes. Trust me. But it is like, I would not ever trade it for the world. I wouldn't trade it for the whole, if someone came up to me tomorrow and said, I will give you the world, I wouldn't trade it for the world. So I'm just so blessed to see my baby turning 5. So he's, one thing I did impart on him, you guys, and maybe I was a little bit obsessive about it, is his love for Disney World. So I will say that you know, I love Disney. I am a Disney fanatic. And so I've been talking to my son about Disney World since he was born, pretty much, like having him in all the Mickey Mouse things that I can get my hands on as a baby. So maybe I did force Disney World on him a little bit. So my last statement was, I take that back, because I did force Disney World on him for sure. But he loves Disney now too. And so he is so thrilled that we get to go to Disney World for his 5th birthday. And I definitely want to make this like a regular thing. So, I'm super, super, super excited. And he's super excited as well. Yay! So that's why this episode is dropping just a little bit early, you guys. And then for me, I wanted to do something special for my birthday as well. So after we come back from Disney World, then I am going to take a solo trip to New York City. Yay! I love New York, you guys. I absolutely am in love with that city. There is just something about New York. Like when I go up there, I love New York City. And I used to travel there a lot for one of my jobs where I traveled quite often. And one of our main offices was in New York. So I would go to New York City quite often. And then my grandmother, when my brother and I were really young, my grandmother actually owned a store where she sold different like African products and beautiful like cloths, beautiful African artifacts. I still remember a lot of the things that she sold inside of her store, just really beautiful stuff. But I remember us traveling to New York quite often with her so that she can find, you know, different things for her store. So I'm no stranger to New York City. My brother lived there for a few years, so I would go and visit him as well. So I've just been missing New York a lot. I've really, really, really been missing New York. So I said, you know what? After we come back from Disney World, my son's birthday is on March 25th. My birthday is on March 30th. So I'm going to be in New York on March 30th. Well, a little bit before March 30th, but I'll definitely be celebrating my birthday in New York City. And yeah, I just wanted to go back and just explore and just, you know, I don't really have a lot planned, you know. I don't have like this really strict itinerary or anything. I just want to go with the flow, sort of, and just, you know, one thing I am definitely going to do. My brother booked a reservation at a really nice restaurant for me, and he's going to pay for my birthday dinner. So thank you, brother. So that is definitely one thing that I have planned. And he said the restaurant is really, really nice. I haven't been there, but I'm very excited to go. But other than that, I'm just gonna like play it by ear and sort of like explore the city and have fun. So I'm super excited about my New York trip as well. There's just something about New York. New York is like one of those cities where I couldn't live long, like I couldn't live year round, you guys, because it's a lot of people in the city. It's a lot of people. And I've noticed that I kind of pick up on people's energy, I think, quite easily. And so when I'm in large crowds, like I'm really energized. Like I'm one of those people who, like when I go to concerts, I'm really super energized. I love large crowds, you know, I love big cities. But after a certain amount of time, it's kind of like, you know, I can spend like all day in a really big city, but then the next day I kind of have to stay inside and kind of keep to myself and kind of like, you know, take a warm bubble bath and read a book. You know, it's like one of those things. So it's like, you know, the big cities really in big crowds and everything really energize me, and I'm really happy and bubbly and go lucky. But then it's like after a certain amount of time, it kind of starts, I don't know what happens or how to explain it, but it's kind of like then I have to like retreat and hibernate and sort of like regain my energy back and yeah, all of that good stuff. So I don't think I could live in New York like all year round, like, you know, 12 months out of the year. I think it would be just too much on me energy wise, but I definitely could imagine myself living there like 3 months out of the year, maybe when my son is on break for summer or something like that. But I can definitely see myself like having, you know, a little, I don't know, like a little summer house or a little summer apartment or whatever in New York. I think that would be, that would be like such a dream come true for me, actually, because I love, like when I am in New York, there's just something about New York. Have you guys, you know, when you travel to different cities, you just feel different, like the energy is different. And not to get all like weird, right, or woo-woo, but I really think, you guys, like when we travel to different cities, at least for me, that's been my experience, and you guys can tell me if this is your experience as well, but when you travel to different cities, the energy is just different, and there's just something about New York that just feels, you know, so familiar, not like as in, you know, I've traveled there for work, and then, you know, I used to go there a lot with my grandma, but even more familiar than that. Like, it kind of feels like home, you know. It just, I don't know how to explain it, but I was just really feeling just kind of almost homesick, but I've never actually lived there, so it's weird. But I've just was like, I just want to go back to New York. I'm just really missing the city. And Atlanta, you know, where I currently live, that will definitely always be my heart, right? I can't really, like, as far as like a main house or whatever, like I can't really imagine myself living outside of Atlanta because I've lived here for so long and I just have such a strong love for this city as well. Even though I live in the outskirts, right? So I don't live directly in the city, but Atlanta is definitely my heart as well. So at this point in time, of course, things change, you guys. Like, and I could say like, well, I can't imagine myself living anywhere but Atlanta long term. But then I don't know, like next year, 2 years from now, my tune may be totally different, right? That's one thing that's beautiful about life is that it's ever changing. But for right now, I don't know if I can see myself living anywhere long term. I did have feeling about, you know, maybe living somewhere part time, like in another country, right? And I still definitely feel that as well. So we'll see how it goes. Like, you know, maybe there'll be a lot of vacations or something to another country. And then, I don't know, like New York sometimes. We'll just see how it goes. But it's just the beautiful thing about life is you can make it what you want, right? There's no like rule book, right? Nobody says like, hey, you have to be stuck in this one town forever, right? So maybe I can move to another country for a couple of years and like homeschool my son. And then, I don't know, have a little summer apartment. I don't know if they call them apartments in New York, but have a little summer apartment and, in New York or something. That'll be fun. So I want to hear from you guys. Like, where do you want to live? Where do you want to travel? What cities and countries feel like home to you? Like when you go there, you're just like, oh, this is my city. I'm so in love with this city. Like, what feels good to you? What feels like home? What calls your name? And I also feel like you guys, you know, and I actually heard this from one of my mentors, and it really resonated with me. But in certain cities, like, you can move there and you'll just start thriving, right? So say you're living in one city currently and you're really stuck and stagnant. And you're like, man, you know, I can't make over, you know, a certain amount of money in this city, or I can't find the love of my life in this city, right? And you, all of a sudden, you move to a totally different city or even a different country, and everything just starts flowing for you. Like, you get an amazing job, or your business starts booming, you meet the love of your life. And it's like, all within a year, all of these amazing things happen where you lived in that other city for the past 10 years and you were stuck and stagnant. And I really do believe, you guys, that when you move to different places, it can really open you up, like, for blessings and for flow. There's just something about maybe that place, geographically, spiritually, whatever, that can really open you up for happiness, joy, abundance, good health, right? You know, you can say, man, when I moved to this city, I was in the best health of my life. But when I lived in that other city, you know, I couldn't, you know, be healthy to save my life, right? And I really do believe that when you move to different places, it has just a different energy, and it can really, you know, help you to thrive. Or it can really keep you stuck and stagnant. So if you're feeling stuck and stagnant right now, it may be that, you know, and you've been feeling that way for a long time, it may be time to sort of explore. Now, don't get up and, like, move everything, right? But just explore a different city. And it doesn't even have to be, it can be your same state, but just a different city, right? Or you can explore a different state or even a different country, but try to go there for like 30 days or something and see how you feel. How's your creativity? How do you feel energetically? Do you feel at peace? Does that city or country feel like home to you? Do you feel anxious or nervous? Are you homesick? And when you go to that country or that city, do you all of a sudden want to go back home? If that's the case, that's definitely not the city for you, right? But I definitely believe, you guys, that different cities have different energies, and that when you move to different cities or visit different cities, it can really help you to open up your creative juices and, like, call in abundance and things like that. I believe that, like, 1,000%. So travel, my loves. I love traveling. I want to travel way more than I've already traveled. Definitely want my son to explore the world. That's, like, non-negotiable for me. So as much as he can travel, as much as I can help him travel, he can travel with me and all of that good stuff. I definitely want that for him, because I don't want him to wait as long as I waited to actually get out there and travel. I want him to experience different cultures, you know, different ways that people live, different ways that people think. I think that, you know, when we're in a certain country or place for a long time and we don't explore other areas, it's really easy to think that, oh, this is how everyone else around the world thinks. This is how everyone else around the world does certain things. And that is, like, farthest from the truth, right? So I definitely want to expand my son to different cultures and countries and places at a very early age, so he doesn't think, like, oh, you know, since I live in America or whatever, this is how everyone does it around the world. I want him to understand that, you know, there's different values, different cultures, different foods, even different languages, different, you know, ways that people think, right? I want him, different religions. That's very important to me, for him to find, you know, of course I'm going to teach him all that I know, right? But I want him to find his own way, right? I don't want to spoon feed my son what he should and shouldn't believe in. And of course, as he gets of age, right, at 5 years old, you know, of course he's gonna gravitate towards what I gravitate to. But as he gets of age and as he gets older, I want him to think for himself, right? You know, so I want to expose him to, you know, different people, you know, so people around the world are just so beautiful. And I want him to see different people in different cultures and all of that good stuff. So he doesn't, you know, he doesn't get in this mentality that there's only one way to do things, right? So, my loves, yeah, I want to know if you have any summer travel plans, where you're traveling. I am so happy. Oh my God. I'm going to two of my favorite places in the world. Disney World. Yay! Oh my God. I can't wait to take my son to Disney World and then New York City. Oh my goodness. So, yay! But my love, so today, what I want to actually chat about is how you can utilize your strengths instead of focusing so much on your weaknesses. So what can you do? You know, as we are around different people, as we're looking at people who are growing their businesses or, you know, climbing the corporate ladder, it's so easy to look at people and say, you know, well, why don't I have this? Why can't I do that? I'm not good enough for this, right? It's so easy when we're comparing ourselves to people to notice all of our weaknesses and our flaws and what could be better, right? I definitely have done this before, and it's something that I'm learning to say, Erica, your biggest competition is yourself. You know, when I find myself looking at this person and saying, oh my God, they're so amazing. They have this and this. They're so smart. No wonder, you know, their business is doing so incredibly well. When I find myself starting to compare myself to other people, I have to reel it back in and say, Erica, your biggest competition is yourself. And I want you to start saying that to yourself as well, my loves. Your biggest competition is yourself. Have tunnel vision. You know, when you're running a race and you start looking left and right, you know, instead of straight forward, that's how you lose the race, because you're paying attention to the person on your left, you're paying attention to the person on your right. But guess what they're doing? They're looking forward and they're gaining momentum and they're going faster and faster and faster because they have tunnel vision and all they are looking at is the finish line, right? So as you're looking from side to side, you start slowing yourself down and you start falling behind, and that is how you eventually lose the race. If you have tunnel vision in your business, as you're climbing the corporate ladder, whatever it is that you're trying to do, as you're writing your book, right? Whatever it is that you're trying to do, if you have tunnel vision, my love, then you will not only finish, right? Instead of having a bunch of half-finished projects, you will not only finish your project or actually start that business or actually, you know, land that interview, but you will succeed. So instead of focusing so much on what Sally Sue is doing or Jimmy John is doing, just focus on being the best version of yourself. Focus on being the best business owner, the best CEO, the best, you know, whatever that you can possibly be, right? Wherever you're at, right? If you are, I don't care what your job title is, right? So if you're the receptionist, if you're the janitor, if you are the executive assistant, if you're the account manager, right? If you're the graphic designer, if you're the Facebook ads manager, right? Whatever your title is, focus on being the best version of that, right? And you know what you'll see, you guys, is that you'll gain confidence. And you know, if you do want to move up the ladder or you desire to be more, you know, as you start to gain confidence, as you start to, you know, get recognized for being, you know, wow, you're such an amazing, you know, executive assistant, you know, it'll help you to realize your other strengths and other areas where you can expand and grow and continue to climb up that ladder, right? But as long as you're looking from left to right at what Sally Sue and Jimmy John are doing, you are taking your energy away from yourself. You're pouring your energy into other people. And because you're dispersing your energy in that way, you're not, you know, using your full potential to be the best version of yourself, right? So pour that energy back into yourself and focus on how can I be better today than I was yesterday, right? So that's the very first thing. The second thing I want to say about comparison, you guys, is we all have our strengths and our weaknesses, right? We all have our strengths and our weaknesses. What I see as a strength in you, but a weakness in me, you might see something else as a strength in me, but a weakness in yourself, right? So for a long time, you guys, I'll give you an example and I'll, you know, take you on my journey with me. But for the longest time, you guys, like, I just was a total yes girl, right? I just was the ultimate people pleaser. You know, I didn't ever want to ruffle any feathers. Anytime someone would ask me for something, it would be yes, 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 yes. And, you know, from the outside looking in, you might think like, oh, that's amazing because, you know, Erica gets along with everyone and people always have good things to say about her, right? But deep down inside, you guys, I was like, man, you know, why can't I be have more stronger boundaries, right? Why can't I stand up for myself a little bit more? If I don't want to go to that event today, why can't I say no, right? And let no be a complete sentence, right? You know, why can't I, you know, I know that I don't have the time to do this. Why did I add that extra thing onto my plate, right? So, you know, as you're looking at me from the outside and you're saying, oh, you know, people have such great things to say about her. She always seems to get, you know, so much done, right? On the inside, I'm drowning and I know that I need to have stronger boundaries. I know that I don't have nearly as much time for myself, right? And so I am looking at it like, man, you know, I wish that I was stronger in this area. I wish that I could say no more often, right? And so, you know, if you're a person that has really strong boundaries, you have no problem saying no, you have no problem, you know, declining event invitations, you have no problem telling people like, look, I'm so sorry, I just don't have time to add that onto my plate, you know. That to me is a strength, right? So the grass is like always greener on the other side. You might be looking at one person's strength as a strength, but you don't actually know what it's costing that person to have that quote unquote strength, right? So you may look at someone like, I don't know, a model, and you may say like, oh, they have the perfect, you know, figure, you know, their face is so clear, you know, their body, they can wear anything, they can wear a bikini, they can wear a dress, they can wear whatever they want. And you are looking at that as a strength, right? And you're looking at that and you're saying, man, why can't I have that perfect body? Why can't I have that perfect figure and that perfect face? I wish I could wear any dress that I want or a crop top or any type of shirt that I want, right? So you're looking at that model and you're like envying that model and you're saying, man, that's such a strength that she has. Why can't I have that too? But you don't know what that model has to go through to get that body, right? You don't know that that model has to work out for 2 hours every single day. You don't know that that model has such a strict diet that, you know, no normal person would really even be able to handle that diet, right? You don't know the sacrifices that that model has to make to maintain that figure and, you know, that type of beauty aesthetic that everyone sees as a strength, right? So we have to always, you know, first of all, look at, you know, the sacrifices that people are making to maintain these so-called strengths that you think are strengths, and also recognize that the things that you think are strengths might actually, to that model or to that person, it might actually be a weakness. Maybe that model hasn't been able to have a slice of pizza for a year. And that model would give anything to have that slice of pizza, right? But since you're so busy comparing yourself to her, you're not realizing that the fact that, you know, you can eat pizza whenever you want, and the fact that you have one slice of pizza isn't going to throw off your whole, you know, eating regimen or whatever. Like, you don't realize how blessed you are to be able to eat whatever you want when you want, right? So that body that you're envying so much and that you think is such a strength is actually a great sacrifice. You know, you should be thankful that you don't have to get up and exercise for 2 hours every single day, right? And I love exercising, you guys. I think exercising is amazing, but let's be real, 2 hours a day, that's some dedication, right? That is some like hardcore dedication, right? If you're a person that can exercise for 2 hours a day, salute to you, my loves. I am sitting up here looking at the when I'm on the treadmill, I am looking at that treadmill at like the 25 minute mark. Like, heck no. When are my 30 minutes about to be up? Okay. So, and I try to not to look at the time, you guys. I try to visualize and distract myself and get into my head and stuff, so the time goes by really fast. But you better believe when that treadmill hits that 30 minutes, my loves, I am out of there. Like, I am on to whatever else I want to do in the gym, right? Whether that's weightlifting or whatever, right? But so if you are a person who can exercise for 2 hours a day, salute to you, my love. You are so disciplined and dedicated. And, you know, but my point is, my loves, as we're envying people, as we're looking at them like, man, I wish I had that body. I wish I had their business. Let's talk about business, right? Everybody nowadays wants to be an entrepreneur. I have never, guys, besides being a mom, outside of being a mom, right? I have never worked so hard in my life, right, to try to get a business off of the ground, right? Outside of being a mom, no other job I have had to work as hard, right? And I am not a person that slacks at any of my jobs. I am a Virgo rising. So if you know anything about Virgos, like, we like to do our job exceptionally well. We are perfectionists, right? I'm not going to speak for every Virgo, but my mom is a Virgo and she's like this as well. So we are perfectionists, right? If it's not done to our standards, like, we are going to do that thing over again until it's done to our standards. So I say that to say, you know, I'm not the type of employee that goes into work and is like, oh, I'm just going to do a half job today. Like, I make sure, like, all of my tasks are done, right? So, you know, you can say, oh, well, Erica, of course your job, like, no job has been as hard because you slack. No, I'm not the type of employee that slacks at anything, right? I'm the perfectionist. I look at the details. I want things to be done right. I want things to be done on time. Like, I do not miss deadlines at all, point blank period, right? I'm not the type of person that gives excuses. So I'm that type of worker, right? So I say all that to say, you know, having a business and growing a business is extremely hard, you guys. Like, it's so difficult. And people, you know, and I was one of those people where I looked at entrepreneurship and I was like, oh my God, like, it's like this, you know, shiny star, right? Like, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. It's so shiny. Yay. Let's, you know, jump on the entrepreneurship train. But it's hard as heck, you guys. You don't know how many, you know, countless sleepless nights I have had trying to get a course launched, or writing an email, right? Or writing a newsletter, or trying to get the onboarding information done for a new client, right? You know, when you have a business, everything falls on you, right? Even if you have assistants, if your assistants don't do their job, it falls on you, because your clients and your customers are looking to you as the face of the business to fulfill their orders, to make sure they are receiving the services that you promise them that they are going to receive. So, you know, hopefully you hire and you partner with amazing team members, right? But let's say your team member slacks one day. Let's say your team member gets sick, right? I'm not at that level yet where I have like a fallback to the fallback, right? I'm not there yet. I will be one day, but I'm not there yet, right? So even though I have, you know, people who help me, amazing, oh, beautiful souls that really do help me, like, if one of them falls back or whatever, it's on me, right? So it's really, you know, I really wish that people would be way more honest about business. Like, when you're scrolling on Instagram, you know, the gram, you see all the glitz and glamour, you know, like, oh, I just hit my $10,000 month. I just made, you know, my first 100K in my business. You see all the glitz and glam, and I'm not downplaying that, right? Because as I'm meeting my goals, it's exciting, you guys. Like, it's so exciting, you know, to wake up and see, like, yay, I made money today. You know, it's so exciting when you get an email from a person out of the blue, like, hey, I want to be your client. You know, can you take me on right now? Those types of emails. I love those emails, right? I love those types of DMs. I love waking up and, you know, seeing, you know, oh, you've made some money overnight. I love those types of things, you guys. But, you know, it's not all glitz and glamour, right? And I wish more people would be honest about that. And say, like, look, you're going to have some sleepless nights. You know, there are going to be times when you have absolutely no idea what you're doing, right? You're going to feel alone, right? Especially if you don't have a lot of people around you who are, successful entrepreneurs as well, you are going to feel alone. Like, who can I, you know, a lot of business, you guys, is just solving problems and figuring out like creative solutions and figuring out it out, you know, on your own. Sometimes you can have coaches and things like that, and you can take courses, but your coach isn't going to be able to hold your hand through every single issue, right? That course isn't going to teach you every single unique issue that can happen, right? So a lot of, you know, a lot of it, you guys, is like just, you know, like figuring out how to work, how to do this thing, right? And so you're going to have nights where you feel like a complete failure. You're going to have days where you cry. You're going to have certain projects that you think are going to be a huge hit that are going to fail miserably. And you're going to have put so many hours into that project. It's going to feel like such a waste, right? You're going to bawl your eyes out. Like, my God, I put so much time and effort and energy and money into this project and it turned out to be a flop, right? So I just wish people would be way more honest about what it really takes to have a business, right? The cool thing about a 9-to-5, you guys, is that you can just do your job, right? Make sure you do your job to the best of your ability, and you can, you know, log off of your computer or drive home at the end of the day and just be done, right? You don't have to think about your job unless you want to think about your job, right? But as long as you're doing a good job, as long as you're meeting your deadlines, as long as your boss is happy, right? Like, that's all you have to worry about. Now, what I will say is that if you do have a 9-to-5, I strongly believe that you need other sources of income, because even if you have your own business, you need other sources of income, because anything can happen to your 9-to-5 or your business. And I've been there where it's like, okay, well, you know, our the company's shutting down, so you don't have a job, right? So if you don't have, you know, that's not a fun place to be in, if you don't have other sources of income, right? So even if you have a job, I strongly feel that you should have a side hustle. And even if you have a business, after you get that business really up and running, and after you start making a certain amount of income, I strongly believe that you should have another source of income, because relying on one source of income, my loves, is really, really risky, in my opinion. But the good thing about having a 9-to-5 is like somebody else has to worry about all of the hard stuff, right? You get to do your job to the best of your ability. Your boss is happy. You're meeting your deadlines. You're being super efficient and accurate and all of that good stuff. And then you get to go home and watch Netflix, right? Or do whatever, hang out with your friends, go to dinner, spend time with your family. You know, like, having a business is not like that, right? You are the problem solver, right? So even if you want to step, take a mental break from your business, it's really hard sometimes because it all falls on you, right? So I really wish that people, you know, and I, you know, don't get me wrong, you guys, meeting your goals and everything is great. I love seeing people, you know, hit their goals. It really inspires me to make me want to get to the next level, right? But, you know, just as much as we talk about our wins and things like that, I think it's really important to talk about the times where, you know, we cried into our pillow because a certain project didn't go as we planned, right? I think it's really important to talk about the good just as much as the bad. So new entrepreneurs aren't being spoon-fed this sort of fantasy entrepreneur world, like, hey, you know, being an entrepreneur, like it's all glitz and glam. And then when they finally get there, it's like, oh, wait, this isn't, you know, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I told it was going to be. Right. So I think it's really important to share both sides of the coin. But anyway, back to my point of this podcast is, you know, you may see entrepreneurship like, oh, yeah, you know, you may see that. You may see people who are, you know, business owners as a huge strength. Like, man, you know, I wish I can also own my own business. But you're not understanding all of the sacrifices that it takes to have that business, right? I feel like, you know, sometimes we have to really look at the other side, right? And say, you know, what does it really take for that person to maintain that lifestyle? What does it really take? What sacrifices did that person really have to make, you know, to get to that level in their company, right? What sacrifices did that person really have to make to maintain that figure, right? So sometimes, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the glitz and the glam, but we have to really pull back the layers, peel back the onion, and say, what does it really take, right, to be that person? What does it really take to be Michael Jordan, right? We look at Michael Jordan and we're like, wow, you know, again, it's all glitz and glam, right? We look at a Kobe Bryant or a LeBron James and we're like, wow, such amazing basketball players, right? But what does it really take, you know, to be a Michael Jordan? What did it take to be a Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul, right? What did it take to be, what does it take to be a LeBron James, right? How much above and beyond do these amazing men, did they have to go? You know, how many more hours did they have to practice to call themselves Michael Jordan, right? How many more days away from their family did they have to spend to call themselves a Kobe Bryant, right? We have to look at, you know, what it takes, you guys, to get to where we want to go. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, this glitz and this glamour, this amazing life, that these strengths, you know, as we really dig into what it really takes to get there, is it really what I want? Am I really willing to make those types of sacrifices? Am I really willing to work out for 2 hours a day? Me at this current moment in time, it's a strong no. It's a strong no. I'm not willing to work out 2 hours a day. I'm just going to be honest, right? As like I told you guys, I'm looking at that treadmill at 25 minutes. Like, when is this okay? When is this going to be over, right? But if I'm desiring, you know, to be on a Michael Jordan level, I promise it probably takes more than 2 hours a day, I'm sure. Right? So what does it really take to get that lifestyle or meet that level of success that you're trying to meet? And really be honest with yourself and ask, right? If you have no idea what it takes, like, you know, if you want to be the next supermodel, ask a supermodel. Hey, what does it take for you? What did it take for you to become who you are? People love to talk about themselves, you guys. So I promise you, if you start, that's what some people tell me that they love about me, is that I just, you know, when I talk to people, I just let people talk about themselves. And I've heard several times, you guys, people are like, Erica, I just love that you let me talk. Like, people love love to talk about themselves, you guys. So if you ask people, like, how did, you know, what sacrifices did you have to make to become the CEO of your company, right? What did it take for you to really become this supermodel, right? What does it take to run, you know, a business that generates $1 million a year, right? If you start asking people questions, you guys, they will happily, most of them, not all of them, but most of them will happily answer you because they love to talk. People just love to talk about themselves, right? If somebody came up to me and asked me, hey, Erica, you know, what does it take to do X, Y, and Z? You know, I would happily tell somebody, right? So, just if you don't know what it takes to, you know, instead of looking at the cars and the houses and all of that, and the vacations or whatever it is that you're desiring, which is all good. We, you know, I definitely desire those things as well. But we also have to look on the other side and say, but what does it take? What do I have to sacrifice to get that lifestyle that I want? And we have to be honest with ourselves, like, am I willing to do that, right? So look on both sides of the coin. And the last thing I want to say about this, my loves, is what you're desiring is also desiring you, right? So what you want also wants you, the authentic version of you, right? So I'll give you an example of this. When I was struggling for so long, you guys, as far as like, how do I grow my Instagram, right? And it came to a point where I did so many crazy, stupid things that I think are just silly now to try to like grow my Instagram. And now I'm just like, you know what? If it grows, it grows, right? I'm just sort of at that point now, right? But I did all of the things, right, to try to grow my Instagram. And I even consulted this Instagram coach who gave me all of these pointers, right? You know, she said she really liked my feed, she liked my content and things like that. But she was like, you know what, Erica, you have to take more pictures of yourself. And you have to show people more of you, more pictures of yourself on Instagram. And when she was saying it, you guys, it made total sense, right? So I had been following her for a while and I looked at her page and she had like her whole page was basically her, right? And I saw all of the followers that she had and I said, yeah, you know, it's working for her. So yeah, I guess in order to really make this thing pop, I have to do what she's doing and I have to make my Instagram, you know, all photos of me, right? So I, at the time, you know, and not that it's, I don't want it to be misconstrued because I actually think that it was really great advice for somebody who wants themselves to be all over Instagram is super comfortable with that, right? So at first, when I first heard it, and of course, looking at her followers and stuff, I was like, yeah, this is exactly what I have to do. This is the answer, you know, to my problem, right? So I did exactly that, right? And I started taking a bunch of selfies of myself. And I even did a photo shoot of myself so that I can put more pictures on Instagram. So I basically just started, you know, posting as many pictures of myself as I possibly could. And yeah, did a whole photo shoot. I loved how the photos came out, actually. I was super happy with the photos. But yeah, I did a whole photo shoot so that, you know, I could put more of me, you know, pictures of me on Instagram because I thought that that's what I had to do in order to really like grow my Instagram and grow my following, right? And get more clients and sell more products and things like that. And so as I was doing that, you guys, and this is why it is so important to be authentic to you in every aspect of life and, you know, in your business as well, because just because something works, you know, for one person in their business, it doesn't mean that it's meant to work or it's going to work for you. So you have to be really aligned and authentic with what it is that you're doing in your business, right? So as I started, you know, putting more and more selfies and more pictures of me on Instagram, you guys, I just started to feel like, Erica, this just isn't you, right? I didn't want my feed to be all pictures of me, and no shade, you know, nothing against anyone who has a feed with all pictures of them, but it just wasn't aligned for me, right? And I look at some beautiful Instagram feeds, right? You know, some of these women, and I'm like, wow, she's gorgeous, right? Of course her feed should be all her. Like, she's super pretty, right? So no shade at all to anyone who has a feed that's all them, because I feel like for some people that's aligned for them, right? That's what they're supposed to be doing on Instagram. Maybe they're meant to be an Instagram model, right? Maybe they're meant to be like a, you know, that type of influencer who shows off their fashion or, you know, who shows off everywhere that they're jet setting to or something, right? And I truly believe some people are called to be that, you know, maybe you're supposed to be that type of Instagram model or influencer, right? But I just knew that I wasn't, right? It wasn't aligned for me to have my pictures, you know, every single picture on my feed be me. It just started to feel really fake and really inauthentic to me the more I started doing it, right? And so I had to take a step back. And guess what, you guys? When I was doing that, right? Of course, when you post pictures of yourself on Instagram, those pictures naturally get more likes, right? So I did see, you know, a boost in the likes and the comments and things like that, right? But, you know, overall, in the grand scheme of things, like, it didn't really, you know, do help as much as I was thinking, because I wasn't aligned with it, with that. I wasn't being authentic and true to myself, right? So, you know, I do like to have selfies and pictures of myself on my Instagram sometimes, right? But I don't want it to be like every single picture is me, right? Or even every other picture doesn't have to be me, right? So, you know, when you're not authentic, you guys, that is what can cause your business or your goals to become stagnant, because you're not being true to yourself, right? And let me tell you, the type of audience members or the types of clients or customers that you'll attract when you're true to yourself, you are going to love them so much more, because you can be totally open and authentic and real with them, right? If you're pretending to be an Instagram model and you're attracting, you know, customers who are naturally attracted and want to, you know, maybe do business with Instagram models, you're all of a sudden have to fake who you are if that's not truly aligned for you, because now you're like, man, in order to keep my customers happy, I have to continue to post pictures of myself now because that's what they're expecting and that's what they want, right? If you're an Instagram model, but you're like, man, you know, I'd rather be behind the camera than in front of the camera, you know, eventually you're going to start having resentment for, you know, your business, because it's like, man, this isn't even what I really want to be doing, but I have to do it in order to keep the money flowing in, right? So that's why I think And I've learned this lesson myself, obviously, from this story, is that, you know, you have to be authentic with yourself, you guys, especially if you plan on doing, you know, your business long term. You know, if you see like a bigger vision for your business, being authentic right from the beginning is what's really going to help to get you there even faster, and what's going to help you to enjoy the journey more, because you're not, you know, just keeping up appearances to please people, right? So I had to take a step back and I had to say, you know, just because, you know, this isn't the only way, Erica, this isn't the only way to sell more products, right? You don't have to be every single picture on your feed, especially if that's not authentic to you, to get more clients or sell more products. And so I had to start thinking, like, what is authentic to me, right? And you guys, I am naturally a servant, right? I love to serve people. I just told you that I'm a recovering yes girl, right? So I love to serve you guys. And what comes naturally, and you know, a lot of times it's almost to my detriment, because I'll say yes, 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 yes so much that I'll end up getting burnt out, right? But you know, my whole life, I have been told, you know, how much of a servant I am, how much, you know, I love to help people, right? I even went to church a couple of months ago, and there was a sort of, I guess you can call her like a prophet there. And she was like, you know, you're meant to heal people. You're meant to help people, right? Yeah, I'm just naturally, I have a servant's heart. And so when I took a step back and I stopped doing what was inauthentic to me, which was posting pictures of myself all over my Instagram, when I took a step back and I stopped doing that, but I started serving more and doing what naturally came to me and what was authentic to me, you know, then I started to see more customers and clients because I was doing what was authentic to me, right? So there's not one way to do business, my loves. And just because something is working for someone else, when you try that thing, if it doesn't work for you, you know, sometimes it's like you have to make a minor adjustment. But other times, my loves, it's that that thing wasn't aligned for you. That's not what you're supposed to do. And you have to step back and see, you know, what is authentic for me? Do I really have to be in front of the camera all the time if that's not what feels comfortable for me? Do I really have to have my feed full of pictures and selfies of myself if that's not what is comfortable for me, right? So, you know, really, really take the time to think about, you know, what is authentic for me? What do I really want my business to look like? What types of customers and clients do I want to attract, right? And on the flip side of that, my loves, maybe you are meant to be, like I said, that Instagram model, right? But your feed is all quotes, right? Or something like that. And you know that you have a desire to be in front of the camera, you know, start being authentic to yourself. If you have a desire to be in front of the camera, but your feed is all, you know, pictures of your cat or quotes or something like that, then start slowly getting in front of the camera more, right? To see, you know, how you feel, what type of audience you start attracting and all of that, right? So I'm not saying like being in front of the camera is wrong or anything like that. Like I said, I am all for like Instagram models. I look at some beautiful Instagram models and beautiful feeds. And I'm like, you go, girl. Like, you know, some of these models are really bad, you guys. So I'm not saying one way or the other is right or wrong. What I am saying is that you have to be authentic to yourself, right? And just because something works for somebody doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. And if you see that it's not working for you, you have to ask yourself, is this really me? You know, am I truly being authentic to myself? And when I stopped, you know, trying to, you know, post all pictures of me all over my feed, and I started just serving people more, that's when I started to see more income come into my business, you guys. When I went above and beyond and I went that second mile and I naturally did what came natural and what felt good for me and what felt aligned, which is serving people and giving as much as I possibly can, then that's when I started seeing the product sales and the clients and all of the referrals. Like, I've gotten so many client referrals, you guys, just because people are like, man, you know, Erica always goes above and beyond. She always gives more than what is expected, right? And that's how, you know, I started getting more and more and more business, because I did what was natural for me and what was aligned for me, right? So just because you think like, oh, the Instagram models, that's such a strength, right? You know, they're so beautiful. They're always in front of the camera. Just because you think that's a strength, don't, you know, your strength may be that you're meant to be behind the camera, but you're meant to serve and serve and serve. And so that is your strength. And maybe that's something that the Instagram model is lacking, right? So you have to really look at your strengths, you guys, and say, how can I use my strengths to the best of my ability? And when you're authentic to yourself, my loves, you will attract the clients and the customers that are authentic to you, right? So imagine, I want you to imagine this for a second. Let's like, I love to throw like relationships into stuff because I think it's just fun. But okay, imagine, you know, you're trying to sort of have a feed where you're like all over the feed, right? Like your pictures, you're posting, you're, you know, maybe you're showing a little bit of skin, you know, to try to get a little bit more likes and comments and things like that, right? But imagine like you're single and you're like, man, you know, you've been praying for God to send you I don't know, like a husband that's like super amazing and blah, blah, blah. But imagine the husband that God wants to send for you is somebody who prefers for like their person to not be all over Instagram, right? But here you are trying to like keep up with the Joneses. That's not really you. You don't want to be all over Instagram. You don't want to have your picture everywhere. But because you think that that's the only way that you can make money, that you can grow your business, that you can grow your following, you know, you're doing it anyway, right? And so imagine, you know, the husband that God, you know, has packaged for you in a beautiful bow comes across your feed, right? And he's like, oh, you know, there's something about this woman. She seems amazing. But the only thing that's throwing me off is that I don't really want someone who's all over Instagram and kind of like, you know, exposing themselves, and she is, and that's kind of throwing me off. So imagine, you know, maybe he decides like, oh, you know, maybe she's not it, right? And this is like just a really broad example, you guys. But what the point I'm trying to make is that if you would have just been authentic with yourself, right? And you wouldn't have you know, you would have said, man, you know, me posting myself all over Instagram isn't for me. I'm going to figure out another way to grow my business. When your husband or your future husband came across your feed, you know, he would have been more open to actually starting a conversation with you instead of having some hesitancy because you were being true to yourself, right? So maybe he saw a different feed where you had pictures of your puppy or pictures of the places where you volunteered at or pictures of some books that you just read. Imagine your feed was full of that and your future husband came across your feed. Then he might be more open to like starting a conversation with you and getting to know you. And he wouldn't be so confused like, well, why do I feel such a bond or such a strong sort of attraction to her? But then she's not exactly what I'm looking for because, you know, her face and, you know, her half naked pictures are all over her feed. Right. I hope what I'm saying is making sense, right? So when you're authentic to yourself, my loves, you're going to attract the people who are for you and who are authentic to you as well, right? Instead of, you know, when you're not authentic, you attract, you know, what's also not authentic, right? And so it can really, you know, sort of mess you up a little bit if you're not being yourself, because you're going to have to play this sort of pretend game. Or maybe, you know, let's say the future husband did reach out to you, and now you're going to have to sort of explain, well, no, this isn't really me, but I'm just doing this because I think that this is the only way to grow my business. And you're going to have to go through that whole thing where if you just would have been authentic and created the type of feed that you wanted to create in the first place, then you just would naturally attract the people to you who are sort of for that, right? So I hope that made sense, you guys. But at this point, I think I'm rambling. So I am going to say, what did they say? I'm going to bid you adieu. And I, you know, I just want you guys to be authentic to yourself and start recognizing your strengths, right? That's all that this podcast episode was about. And travel more, because then you'll get to know yourself and your creativity will spark and all of that good stuff. That's all this whole podcast was about, my loves. But I love you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the Gratitude First podcast. You could have listened to any other podcast in the world. And I thank you for spending time with me. And I hope you have a great week. Bye-bye.
Somewhere far away, and just be free. A place time's on go, we can call it our paradise. Just you and I, now wouldn't that be nice? Oh, it's our paradise, staying up all night. Just you and I.
Thank you for tuning into the Gratitude First podcast. Remember to subscribe for more positive episodes that plant seeds of goodness. Let's be friends on social. Come say hi to me on Instagram at Gratitude First. If you resonated with this episode, please leave a comment and spread the word about the podcast by telling everyone you know. I love you. Stay blessed and manifest those dreams. Have a magnificent day, Gratitude Gardeners.